Let's face it, when was the last time you studied 2nd and 3rd John as well as Obadiah or Haggai from the Old Testament? Any of you? I've never done that. I've been walking with God for 22 years. I never studied 2nd John or 3rd John or Haggai for that matter. Somehow we have a tendency to think that they are less important books because they are short and they are less known. Contrary to our opinion, our Lord thinks that they are important enough to be canonized in the Bible. And what can we learn from the 2nd John? Plenty, in my opinion. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, even though this is a postcard-sized small book, you put enough emphasis in this book about truth, walking in the truth. Nowadays, the people try to ignore the truth, and they say the truth is relative. Your truth is immovable, unchangeable. So we want to know the truth. We want to learn how to walk in the truth. Speak to our heart, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at the timeline and the target audience. The second epistle of John is probably written about the same time as 1 John or shortly after, somewhere around the 980. We don't know whom this letter is written to. We do not see the name because it appeared to be addressed to the Christian family and especially the lady. And some commentators says that, well, when it says a lady, that means since the church is the bride of Jesus Christ, it means the local church and the children of her family is more like a pointing to the believers of that church. I do disagree with that. I'll tell you why. If you start to interpret the Bible in allegorical way, and what do I mean allegorical? It's symbolizing. If you start to symbolize, thinking the Bible is symbolizing, you interpret that way, when do you stop? As you know, we've been interpreting the Bible as is, literally. So best way to interpret this kind of case, literally. This is an actual woman, Christian woman, and the children, and the family. So shortly after the 1st John, okay? Shortly after. Like I said, it's shortly thereafter. It's been a while since I've clicked this thing. Second thing we should take a look at is a theme. When you read, by the time you finish reading this 13 verses book, there'll be one word that keep on repeated. It's one word. The word is truth. The word is a truth. It repeats itself over and over and over. Why truth? Why? What is so important about the truth that this aging apostle John, many believes that he was somewhere in the 90s, late 90s, and when he wrote, excuse me, by the time he wrote this letter and tried so hard to get his point, across his point to us. Apostle Paul echoes him for the importance of the truth in this in his famous epistle, Ephesians chapter 6. Whenever somebody says Ephesians chapter 6, what's the thing that comes to your mind first? The full armor of God, right? Verse 10 through 18. He didn't start with the listing of these armors. He didn't start with the breastplate of righteousness or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, or this helmet of salvation. But he started with the belt of truth. Why belt of truth? Because everything is hinged on that belt of truth. Because God is truth. And why is the truth is so important to God and should be important to us? Because everything God has for us based on truth which is non-negotiable and is unchanging. In addition to that, Jesus Christ himself is the truth. And you're wondering, where'd you get that? John 14:6. Well, Truth Project. No, Truth Project is not mentioned in the Bible. John 14:6. Remember that? I am the way. What? There we go. I am the truth and the life. So Jesus declared himself as the truth. And let's go. So before I jump ahead of myself, then let's go directly into the word, the text, in verse 1. To the elder and to elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Verse 2, because of the truth which abides in us, it will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Apostle John is using the word truth here four times in three short verses. Truth means, what's the truth? What does truth mean? It's the reality. Opposite of the appearance only. I mentioned to you that Jesus Christ himself is the truth. Of course, you know that, John 14:6. And let's go to John, keep your finger there, John 17:17. John 17:17. Jerry, where's your thingy that you can flip around? Oh, you. Oh. You actually have to use a regular Bible?
She's turning the pages for me.
Yeah. He has such a rough life. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your what? Word is the truth. Truth is not only, folks, truth is not only an object revelation from the Father God, but also subject experience in our personal lives. We can not only know the truth, we can love in the truth, and we can live for the truth's sake. Let me say one more time. We can not only know the truth, love in the truth, and live for the truth's sake. Making sense? So truth is not just that God is giving us as a revelation, but it is personal. We can personalize in our lives. Does it mean that John said that this elect lady, what does it mean that John said elect lady? It means that she was chosen. Elect lady. She was chosen by God. Anyone, folks, anyone who is a born-again Christian, anyone who is a born-again Christian is a chosen, and she was sanctified, and she is elected. Anyone who is a born-again Christian is a chosen and elected and sanctified. Let's go through the Bible few verses. Romans, starting with Romans 8:29. Yeah. Romans 8:29. This is the predestination thing, right? Remember? For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among the many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, let's go, move to the right and go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, please. Now he's explained. Apostle Paul is explaining from different angle. Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us to adoption as the sons of by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Anyone who is born again is predestined. Anyone who is born again, they are chosen and elected. Move down to verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So how did this elect lady and his children come to know the truth and become a children of God? There's only one way to get to be saved, right? Of course, that's through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Now, however, we are saved only by the grace and mercy, not by love, not by God's love. Which is the love that paid the price. True definition of God's love is displayed on the cross. Jesus sacrificed himself for the price of our sins, for the mankind's sin. And that is the true definition of love. And so that we may have eternal life. Get this, guys. You know this, but let's remind ourselves. God is not at war with the lost sinners, but it is a sinner who was at war with him. Remember, before we became a born-again Christian, we were enemy of God. Right? We were enemy of God. By accepting him into our heart, we became his adopted children. Move down to verse 4, please. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. On the line there, please. That is the theme of this book, Walking in Truth. As we receive the commandment from the Father, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though that I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which I have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandment. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Folks, truth and love is inseparable. It is the two powerful aspects of the Christian life, and they are inseparable. You have to have both. Let me explain to you this way. Some of you may remember me using this illustration. Consider truth as the river banks that contain the river. Consider love as a river. River brings a lot of nutrition to the surrounding community, right? But without riverbank, the truth, the river will go everywhere and flood that area and become uncontrollable. It destroys. At the same time, riverbank without the river is harsh, it's bone dry, it's doing nothing. It does not have a purpose for it. It does not work. Yeah, kind of like a Santa Cruz River, and they said, where is the river? That amazed me when I came to Arizona. River has to be contained within the boundary of a riverbank. Otherwise, we see the Mississippi running over and flooding everywhere. Folks, truth without love can make a person harsh and offensive to others. Love without truth can make a person naive and gullible to deception. Is that true? Had to be contained. Idea of the love, 1960 and 1970. They said love, 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 love everybody. That was the river without containment. Before then, it was a riverbank, truth without love. God's truth is not just something we keep in our head. It is something that lives in our heart. To know God is to love him. To know God is to love him, and this love of God abides in us and changes everything about us. Are you the same as before you were born again? I hope not. If you are not changed at all, we have to doubt about your salvation. Like God himself, his truth abides in with us forever and changes not. Many people today think that truth changes from generation to generation and culture to culture. They say truth is relative. I say absolutely not. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. God's truth does not change. God's truth is not negotiable. In the New Testament language, the word walking simply refers to the way a person lives. So walking in truth would simply implies that person is living according to the truth of God. The only way that person can walk in truth is he or she first knows the truth. How can that person walk in the truth when he or she does not know the truth? And the only way to know the truth is to know the Word of God. So bottom line, we have to know the truth that comes from the Bible itself, not from the encyclopedia, Bible itself. Once we get to know the Word of God, then we simply follow what the Word of God says, then we automatically live in the truth. You follow me so far? The integrity of a Christian life can be measured by our love for one another. Let me say one more time. Integrity of our Christian life can be measured by our love for one another. John is declaring to us that the commandment of the new covenant is not really new commandment. Because this commandment to love has always been the top priority of God's agenda, whether it's the New Testament or Old Testament. And it's easy for people to think that, are you talking about the God of the Old Testament who pretty much tried to judge people all the time? Yes. We find it in Deuteronomy 6:5 says, what does it say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength. And of course, what does Jesus say about the second most important commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do first one, love your God with all your heart and mind and strength, naturally you will do what he wants by loving others. Huh? John 13:35, please. John 13:35. Gary, you're not turning the Bible either? You're turning it for him. Okay, that's it. You two going to bring the Bible from now on. Oh, yeah. By this, all will know that you are my disciple. Jesus speaking. If you have love for one another, how are the other people going to know that we are Christian? Loving one another. All right, back to the 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers has gone on into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and, an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we walked for, but that we may, we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both Father and the Son. Note that word, has both Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. And for he who greets him shares in his evil deed. For though we are to love everyone, that doesn't mean we have to trust everyone. We are to love everyone, but we don't have to trust everyone. There's a big difference between loving and trusting. We can truly love without being gullible. You agree? We should not be gullible. Jesus said we should be wise as serpent. The Bible repeatedly warns us to be aware of a deceiver and know the difference between the truth and the lie. Know the difference between truth and lie. How do we get to know that is a lie? By studying the truth. I'm sure you guys heard the illustration. The bank tellers do not study the counterfeit money. They study the real money. By studying the real money, when they see the counterfeit, they can immediately recognize. We are not to study all these different cults. It's a good... Knowing the truth, we can recognize the deception. Sometimes the most loving way, the loving things that we can do to point out the lie and to warn others about the deceivers. The Christian faith stand or fall on the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. And some of you think that, I'm sure you heard this, somebody saying, well, doctrine is boring, we don't want to know the doctrine. You better know the doctrine. Amen. Doctrine means instruction. Without the instruction, there's nothing in the Bible. Whole book is the instruction for us to live by. And we have to have the deity, the doctrine of deity of Jesus Christ. If he is the only man, he cannot save us because he had to deal with his own sinful nature. He cannot be the atoning sacrifice, no matter how gifted that person he might be. If he is not a God that came in the human flesh, then the Christian faith is lies. And of course, you remember the Galatians 1:8, which we memorized. In case you don't remember that, let's go there. Galatians 1:8. Galatians 1:8, please. Am I going too fast? Am I going too fast, Renee? Stay with me, go. But even if we, Apostle Paul speaking, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be what? Accursed. That's a harsh, harsh word to say. But he means it. If you look at all the cults, as I said before, all the cults has one common denominator. What do they use? Bible. They use Bible, but they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, as Oscar was about to say. Let's look at a couple of the common thing about these two cults. About the Jehovah's Witness, they claim that when you ask, who is Jesus? They say Jesus is not God. And before he lived on earth, he was Michael the Archangel. Jehovah's Witness they don't call it God. They always call it Jehovah. Made the universe through him. On earth, he was a man who lived in a perfect life. Not the word perfect life. After dying on the stake, not cross, he was resurrected as a spirit. His body was destroyed, and Jesus is not coming back again. He returned invisibly in 1914 in spirit. Very soon, he and angels will destroy all non-Jehovah's Witnesses. There's two problems with this, their doctrine. You know why? Number one, he said he's the man who lived in a perfect life. If he's a perfect man, he cannot be unless he's God. He claimed to be Jesus. He claimed to be a God, and they would say, "Well, he never claimed to be a God." How many times do you want me to point out to you in the four Gospels? Plenty, right? If he claimed to be a God, when he's not God, he's not a perfect life. He didn't live the perfect life. He is a con man. Make sense? At the same time, they said. They say that there's no hell. There's no punishment. What about the destroying all the non-Jehovah's Witnesses? That would be us. All of a sudden, their own doctrine contradicts within. Mormonism. They said Jesus is separated God from, it's a little g God. Note that again, little g God. From the God Elohim, he was created as a spirit child by the God, a father and a mother in heaven. I don't know where they find a mother in heaven. That's why they have to come up with their own Bible. And is the elder brother of all men and the spirit being. And his body was created through sexual union between Elohim and Mary. Jesus was married. His death on the cross does not provide a full atonement for all sin and does not provide anyone with but does provide everyone with the resurrection. Yeah. No. That's Elohim is the father. And Jesus was married to somebody else, I guess. A lot of times they say Mary Magdalene. Now, problem with this, their own doctrine is contradicting within. They said that there is only one God. The Mormon says that there is only one God. But they, at the same time, they said Jesus was a God. And I love to find that kind of thing. And if you say there's only one God, who is this? And then also they also said when everything is done away, they will be like God. There will be gods. And then I asked them, you said there's only one God. How come you're going to be God again? They don't know how to explain that. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. And then there are another ones that there is only one God. And when you say a God, that means more than one God, right? Well, that's what I said here, the elder brother of the old spirit. Once again, Apostle John is defending against the Gnostic heresies of his day that taught that Jesus could not have had a body of flesh because he's supposed to be God, so he does not have a flesh. Today, this warning can be also be applied to those who teach that Jesus didn't really come at all. Now, the problem with that is their idea is some modern day liberal. They call themselves Christians, but they are not liberal. They are liberals. And they say that Jesus Christ's story is nothing more than myth. It's some people compiled together some mythological things. Time after time, Bible proved itself is worthy to be put. We can put our faith on this book. Prophetically, scientifically, and historically. And they try to deny all of that. See, the Hollywood and media are very happy to jump on this bandwagon. What would be the greatest example lately? Da Vinci Code. Da Vinci Code, as much as popular as that one, is nothing more than undermining the faith of Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's why when I see the Christian people pick up that book and start to read, and I just shudder. And are you that dumb? Antichrist, folks. Antichrist means the word anti in Greek is against Christ or replacing instead of Christ. Verse 9 makes it clear that if anyone denies Christ, that person is denying the Father. Father God and Jesus comes in a package deal. You cannot say, I believe in Jesus Christ and no one else. I'm sure you heard the doctrine, Jesus only. That's bogus. Totally bogus. You cannot have one or not the other. But the way to have both is abiding Jesus Christ's teaching. To abide means remain in. And that it implies both knowledge of and the practice of the teachings of Jesus Christ. In John's day, Christians would welcome traveling evangelists and traveling teachers or pastors. And because they did not have a Holiday Inn, and the inns they had, staying there, it was not anything but holidays, because it is such a low condition. So what they did, they stay with people's in the people's home, and they provide food and lodging. And the problem with that is that there are false teachers and false evangelists come around and take advantage of people's lives, people's hospitality. 2,000 years past, still haven't changed a whole lot. You see them now, you see them on the TVs. Some time ago, I mentioned to you that when the Jehovah's Witness come to my home, and there were a couple times I invited him to my home because they come up with this Greek word. So their Greek word is pretty much prefabricated, is driven into their memory, and they say, well, in Greek, they love to say in Greek. So really, come on in. Let's look at the Greek. And I open up, turn on the Bible software, we go over a few Greek, and one of the first questions when I start to show him the Greek, and one of the question asks, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Oh. Yeah, it's a thing. It's a little too late. I mentioned that, and of course, there was a smart man, Gary Hulley, came to me after the service. He kindly said, we should not invite them, you should not invite them into the house. So I mentioned to him, and when you read, Gary, when you read this 2 John, in context, this is about house church. And allowing the false teachers, false evangelists to come into your home and trying to destroy, that's what is the Apostle John is talking about in context. So, in context, within the flow, I am correct. However, Gary's point is correct also. Let me explain to you. Let's say Jehovah's Witness came to my home, knock on the door. I open the door, and then I say, invite him in because he's talking about Greek. So, sometimes I'm too stupid to argue with people, so I invite him in and try to talk it over. What do I get from arguing? Nothing. Other than me showing that, I'm right, you're wrong thing. So I invite him and talk. But he may leave our home and go to the next door. Hi, we're from Jehovah's Witness. We're from Watchtower. We just had a nice conversation with the Pastor Shun, who lives next door to you. He let us in so we can have a nice talk. What do they use? Yeah, using me as endorsement. I thought about it, even though my point is correct, Gary's point is correct. So while I was studying this, I decided from now on I will not have them in my home anymore. From the door, front door, I will say, this is what I would say. Your Jesus of Jehovah's Witness is not the same Jesus as mine, because my Jesus is God. And they absolutely deny that. My Jesus is God. And I have a complete salvation. I don't have to earn my salvation. I have my complete salvation through Jesus Christ, because he died for me and he's risen from the dead. And instead of saying, God bless you, I don't think I ever said that to the Jehovah's Witness. As I would say, I hope you find the truth. Yes, sir.
But you armed with truth and sit down and plant a seed, if you don't do that, they'll continue misleading people. So if you bring them in, I don't know which way, but if you bring them in and plant that seed, and they somewhere along the line start thinking, and
yes, there is
they will break that cycle. Quit me.
I can do that. Yeah, I can do that from the front door.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I would confront them if I have a time. Usually they come on Saturday morning, do they not? Now, if you have a time, if you are equipped, the reason why I invite them is because I'm most of the time I'm prepared. And some of people may not be prepared. If not, just say, your Jesus is not the same Jesus as mine, and my Jesus is God.
Yeah. Paul, they're not set in the watchtower at you. They've got a little book.
Yeah.
And go,
yeah, they try to hand me that thing, so I said, no, thank you.
And I finally asked them,
or you can take them away, and as many as they can hand it to you and burn it.
Yeah.
One time I was talking with a, he came alone, which was a mistake. And he was kind of, he started with a Greek word, so that's why I invited him in. I was hitting him left and right. He didn't know what to say. And yeah, I agree. Now I put the doubt in his doctrine. But I can't do that outside. I don't have to invite him in. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to come to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full, and the children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. We'll make four applications. Number one, the truth is not only, truth is not only an objective revelation from the Father God, but also a subjective experience in our personal lives. It's a fancy way to say it. It's not just a complete revelation from God, but it's we can personalize it into our lives. Integrity of our Christian life can be measured by our love for one another. Integrity of our Christian life can be measured by our love for one another. Third application, the Christian faith stands or falls on the doctrine of deity of Jesus Christ. If you're traveling to the different cities and you need to go to church, the first thing you need to find out is, does that church teach the deity of Jesus Christ? If not, stay far away from that place. Fourth, proclaim that Jesus is our God to anyone who you have a contact with. Proclaim that Jesus is your God to anyone who you have a contact with. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We are asking you to go with us. Let us walk in your truth every day, every night, until you come or until you take us home. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.